are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. We're the voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. Welcome to the Friday edition of the Pronk Pop Show. Today I'm going to focus in on really one story, but connect several of them to it, because this week the Select Committee on Benghazi, that's investigating everything supposedly before, during, and after Benghazi, met, and they started to have hearings. And I urge you, if you have the time, to listen to some of the excerpts. Because what I've done is publish on my companion website to this show, and that's pronkpops.wordpress.com. That's pronkpops.wordpress.com. And at the very top, you'll have links to all my shows, recent shows, the last 60 to 80. At the very bottom of the page, you'll have links to all my shows, but the very first few. But in between, you'll have my notes as well as information that I reviewed, analyzed, and really are going to use on the show today. So listen to the show first, and then if you have time, explore the videos, the articles, and I have a lot of information. But I want to first highlight the fact that the Select Committee has met, and hopefully they're going to get into a whole range of topics. But I have a fear, and I still have a fear, because I've been listening to the excerpts from what the committee got into, and I know they have a lot of ground to cover, so you shouldn't judge the committee, and I'm not trying to judge the committee, on the first week or a couple of days of hearings, because they have a lot of material and a lot of aspects to this case. But my concern is this, and it's always been my concern, and I'm still not getting a warm feeling. And matter of fact, going over some of the material, I learned some things. I thought I was up on this, but you're always going to learn something new. And it's clear to me that this committee, or at least several members on the committee, knew that the CIA was in Benghazi. Now, there's no way at this point that they wouldn't know that, but this was when it was first being investigated. And they purposely stayed away from anything to do with what the CIA was doing in Benghazi. And as far as I'm concerned, that is the key question. It's probably the most important question. Why was the Central Intelligence Agency there, and what were they doing? Now, on past shows, I've gone over this, but I'm going to go over it again, because if they don't deal with this question, then Congress and Trey Gowdy have wasted a lot of time and money. And the reason I'm concerned about this, there's a lot of focus, and I'm not saying they shouldn't investigate this, into the fact that the State Department was remiss in providing adequate security to Ambassador Stevens and the people with him, and because of that, not listening to past recommendations of several disasters, if you will, involving deaths at various embassies across the world, U.S. Department of State embassies. So they're focusing on security at what was later called the diplomatic facility. Prior to that, it was called the consulate. It was really a house. That's all it is. It was a house with a nice pool and some outbuildings, and that was it. It never was going to be a consulate. And the reason is the security's terrible. And the ambassador flew in. Supposedly, he wasn't supposed to be known to be flying in, but the media was there to meet him. The media on September 10th, the day before he died. And that was a concern, because he was supposed to fly in, if you will, under the radar, and locals not be aware he's in town. And the very first thing is the media is there. But the reason why I'm getting more and more suspicious and concerned is, and this was Republican people on the oversight committee, they had the head of security in the Department of State, Ms. Lamb, testify. And she, I think inadvertently, I don't know, let out of the bag that the CIA was there. It had an annex. And they weren't supposed to refer to that. And they want it struck from the record. And they made it known that this was not to be discussed. And I've seen previous testimony of the Oversight Committee, not the Select Committee, when more or less the same thing happened. Now, it's hard at this point, and after the fact, when the CIA covert operation is blown sky high, to deny that the CIA wasn't there. But remember, the CIA engages in what's called covert operations. Covert means they're secret, and they're secret not only from our enemies, but also from the American people, and really secret from the press. And what happened on September 11, 2012, blew that secret sky high. Not all the details, and not all at once, but the world knew that the United States Central Intelligence Agency had an operation going on in Benghazi. Now, I'm not going to tease you much longer, especially if you're not aware what was going on, but let's give a little background first. Without any authorization from Congress, the United States was engaged in a war in Libya that overthrew Gaddafi, and they were successful. But here's the problem. Before they successful, they need arms and training. The so-called Libyan rebels, I'm emphasizing, the Libyan rebels needed our support, needed the support of the Central Intelligence Agency, as well as airstrikes by NATO fighter jets, as well as U.S. fighter jets. And despite denials, there were boots on the ground. And the boots were CIA boots as well as Special Operating Forces boots. Why? If you're going to conduct airstrikes, you need people on the ground spotting for you where the enemy is, primarily using lasers, but also giving instructions, communicating with the jets, so they can be effective in when they drop their missiles or bombs. So the CIA was heavily involved in Libya, providing arms, training, and intelligence to the the Libyan rebels, and they were successful. Now, what's the problem with the Libyan rebels? Many of them, not all of them, but many of them are affiliated with Al-Qaeda, and the group that actually attacked this so-called diplomatic facility in Benghazi was also one of these groups that was affiliated with Al-Qaeda. And they knew it the day of the attack. The State Department knew it the day of the attack. And their emails documenting that. That's not new information. This has been known since 2012, since September, going on 2 years. But we were lied to. In other words, we were given what's called in the spy business a cover story. When something goes wrong, you give your cover story and you stick to it. Well, it was a tissue of lies that all this, it was a spontaneous demonstration and blaming on a video that an individual made in Hollywood. That was bogus, folks. And everyone knows it's a lie now. But remember, the president was running for re-election. They had just come from the Democratic convention, where you heard numerous speakers say, we've killed Al-Qaeda and, excuse me, we've killed bin Laden and Al-Qaeda's on the run. Yeah, they were on the run to the Benghazi diplomatic facility to burn it out. And they attacked it with AK-47s, RPGs, rocket-propelled grenades, and they torched it. And as a result, our ambassador died, as did another State Department employee. But that's only the start of it. That was at the diplomatic facility. And what I urge you to do, there's two excellent, outstanding videos that I'm calling your attention to. One is 13 hours at Benghazi. That really gets into the details that I don't have time to go over. But it's the people that came to the rescue of the people being attacked at that diplomatic facility. And they were security people from the CIA annex. And these are prior military people. Call it security guards, whatever you want. But these people know how to kill people when they're attacked. That's their expertise, and they needed that expertise that night. So they came to the rescue after being delayed and delayed for about 25 minutes, getting permission to first go and rescue, even though the people were communicating very clearly that they needed help now or they're going to die. And that very well may have happened, because there are, I think, more than a dozen people at that diplomatic facility. So they need help. And the CIA security people came to their rescue and got them out of there. And that's fortunate. That's very, very fortunate. Because otherwise, we might have had a bloodbath. It wouldn't have been just the two. It could be many more. But it didn't end there, because once the people at the diplomatic facility and their rescuers came back to the CIA annex, the annex was attacked, and two more people died on the roofs. And the 13 hours at Benghazi video goes in the detail on that. Now, it's not a 13-hour show. It's less than, I think, it's about 45 minutes. These are the people that were actually on the ground that came to the rescue of the people at the diplomatic facility. They were there to provide security for the people at the CIA annex. That was their primary mission. But their secondary mission, if you will, was to help the State Department people, as well as provide additional security in case the so-called diplomatic facility was attacked. The problem is there was very little security at the diplomatic facility. Now, I'm all for the Select Committee getting into that and going over it, fine. Because I think if you're a government employee, it doesn't matter what agency, Department of State, Central Intelligence Agency, any government employee, you should expect security, especially if you're in a very, very dangerous place, which they were. Look at that video. Do yourself a favor. And actually, there's two. And the other one is the earlier details. It's called, I think, a smoke screen. And that gives you more of the earlier information that was out. Together, they sort of go together very well. And Brett Barr of Fox was the lead interviewer on this. There's a lot of information there, but it doesn't really tell the whole story. It does focus in on the deaths and the attack, but what doesn't it really answer? Why were they there? Why was the Central Intelligence Agency, there? What was Ambassador Stevens doing? Ambassador Stevens was what is called diplomatic cover. Now, normally it's not the ambassador, but this time it was the ambassador. And what he was doing is arranging for other countries, such as Turkey, and that was his last dinner with the Turkish general consul there in Libya, in Benghazi, to talk about and arrange for the shipment of arms from Libya to Syria. And remember, this is a covert operation. This was secret. Nobody should know about this. And if it wasn't for the attack, probably nobody would. Now, why is this important? I'm sure you've heard of the Islamic State, or ISIS, or ISIL, whatever the president wants to call it today. They were one of these Syrian rebel groups that were trying to overthrow the Assad regime, the Bashar al-Assad regime in Syria. In other words, eventually these arms, supplies, got into the hands of the so-called Free Syrian Army, but also other rebel groups in Syria. Call it trickle-down terror, trickle-down terror. Now, admittedly, the intention was to supply these weapons, supply the intelligence, supply the training, both out of country and in country, so the Assad regime would ultimately fall. That was the objective. In other words, this is another case of a government intervention abroad kept from the American people. This was done in secret. We didn't want the American people to know, and we certainly didn't want the left wing of the Democratic Party to know, because they wouldn't approve. And there's no troops on the ground, no American troops on the ground. So that's sort of the guideline today out of the White House. No troops on the ground. But that's a lie. There are boots on the ground. Maybe not U.S. Army boots, but I doubt that. They're CIA boots. They're contract boots. They're special operator groups, whether they're still in the military or not. There's plenty of boots on the ground. I'm beginning to lose track, but the last time I heard, it was up to 1,700 people in Iraq, which that translates into at least 3,400 boots. So don't buy this nonsense. There are no boots on the ground. See, this is the same story over and over again. And they think they can fool you. And if you're not paying attention, they are fooling you. But I asked the question, will the special committee, and I challenge the, I keep calling it the special committee, the select committee on Benghazi to ask and have a foundation for asking the question, why was the CIA, Central Intelligence Agency there, the CIA, why were they there and what were they doing? And this needs to be in public, not one of these executive classified hearings. The American people are deserve and demand an explanation. And if the Republicans and Democrats want to play footsie under the table and not cover this, they will pay a price because there are a lot of people besides me pointing this out. I know some of you that are not interested in foreign affairs and really don't want to hear about Benghazi could care less. More interested in football and a few of the football players beating their wives or beating their children. Well, guess what? That's been going on for hundreds of years in all professions. You notice there's no stories about media people or people in Hollywood that are beating their wives and beating their children. I wonder why. They're focused in on the National Football League. I could care less as to what the National Football League is doing about it for this reason. If someone is beating someone else, whether it's their wife or their children, that is a matter for the police. And if you see it, you should file a complaint. And if you're in an abusive relationship, leave. I'm tired of the Democratic Party peddling this nonsense that the Republicans have a war on women and trying to use an issue like this to confuse people. I'm bored to death about that story, and I only mention it because I'm also bored to death about certain talk show hosts, some very major talk show hosts, going on and on and on and on about it. It's a police matter. It's a family matter. I'm concerned. I'm not condoning it. But the way to handle that is to pick up the phone and call the police. Or if you're in that kind of relation, seek help. You see, the media is using this to distract you, and it is distracting you. I can't listen to a newscast in the newsroom or listen to a talk show without this being brought up, and I don't follow sports. When I listen to talk radio, if I truly were into sports, I wouldn't listen to talk radio. I would listen to the people that comment on sports, whatever it's football, golf, whatever. And what amazes me, you know who I'm talking about. It's Rush Limbaugh. And I've been a fan almost since day one. I've always been a fan of his, but lately I just haven't had time to listen to the show. But this week I did. And he was boring me to the point I turned off his show half a dozen times, going on and on and on about the NFL. Meanwhile, what's happening in Congress? What did Congress do this week before they got out of town? Thank goodness they're out of town. They went home Thursday, but before they went home, they passed a continuing resolution so the government won't close down until after the election. See, they're really concerned about getting reelected. Now, as far as I'm concerned, throw out all the Democrats and most of the Republicans, because this continuing resolution is continuing to kick the can down the road. There's no attempt by either party to step up to the plate and stop out of control spending, which is, as far as I'm concerned, the number one cause of the high unemployment and low growth rates that we have today. But they got out of town, but before they did, they passed this continuing resolution funding the government through early December. Isn't that special? Isn't that nice? Aren't you really happy? In other words, they're not dealing with the problem. There's a reason why Congress has an approval rating of only 14%. They were actually as low as 7%. And like I've said, the Democratic Party is a lost cause, but if the Republican Party continues doing what they're doing, I will cheer the day there's another successful constitutional party that truly believes in the Constitution, because, ladies and gentlemen, these folks do not. They do not. The deficit by the end of this month will be approaching, if not exceeding, $600 billion. That's $600 billion, or another way to say it, over $500 billion. And this has happened year in, year out, year in, year out. For every year Obama has been in office, and for the last year, the Bush administration, where it was, I think, $489 billion. I might be a little high or off on that number. It happened under Republicans. It happens under Democrats. They're taking this country and putting it in the toilet and flushing it down. They have no concern for you or me or what they're doing to the country. Now, if the continuing, I would not have voted for the continuing resolution, in case you're wondering, because it doesn't address the number one problem, is the government spending is out of control, massively out of control. And they're not even close to balancing it. Balancing means there's a zero deficit. And the earliest they do that is 10 years out under the Republican plan. There's no sense of urgency. There's no sense of what they're doing. And what they're doing is diminishing the purchasing power of your money. And you see that in price increases. Just go shopping for food, shopping for gasoline. I can remember when, and I'm not happy about this number, but when President Obama took office, gas in Dallas, regular, was selling about $1.85. Today, it's actually gone a little bit down. It's down to $3.15. Not quite double. It's been more than twice that, by the way. And the reason I bring that up, I keep asking myself, and you need to keep asking yourself, why is the United States in the Middle East? Why is the United States in the Middle East? And there's only one answer. Only one answer. It's oil. It's oil. And the reason it's oil is in the Middle East, about 55 to 56% of all the reserves of the world in terms of oil is in the Middle East. And any industrial country needs energy. And a European country, China, India, needs energy. And that energy is primarily coming from the Middle East. Not entirely, but most of it is. And that's why the United States is there. We're the so-called superpower. Actually, we've been the empire. We've had a decline in empires rather significantly. And I don't think the American empire is going to last much longer, because it's very expensive to have an empire. You're constantly at war. You have to build up your military. And we can see the net result of that is massive deficit spending after deficit spending, year in, year out, building a larger and larger national debt. And the more debt we have, ultimately, the more interest we have to pay, which means you have less money for other things. But what did Congress do besides pass that continuing resolution? Well, they authorized what the president requested, to provide funding to train the so-called Syrian rebels. And I keep asking myself, why? Why are we training anybody? It's not our fight. I wish the people that are trying to overthrow Assad well, but it's not our fight. But the president wants to make it our fight. He is intent on overthrowing the Assad regime. But you also have to keep asking why. Well, why? Who is the Assad regime's major ally? It's Iran through Hezbollah. You see, what Congress really authorized or continue funding of is a proxy war. A proxy war going on between the United States and Iran. Now, why Iran? It's oil. Neither Great Britain, France, or the United States likes the fact that we were kicked out. That oil was nationalized and the Shah was kicked out. You see, what was going on in Benghazi was a covert CIA, Central Intelligence Agency, operation to arm, train, provide intelligence support of the so-called Syrian rebels, that primarily the so-called Free Syrian Army. The problem is, people that have truly looked at who were we sending these arms to quickly found out that these people are not our friends. Yes, we had some help from three countries, Sunni countries, namely Qatar, Saudi Arabia, and Turkey. They were providing the money, big time money, and Turkey was supplying the transportation as well as other resources needed, for example, to make chemical weapons, sarin gas. You see, the reason why President Obama got cold feet was why initially the federal government, through the CIA, was sending arms. It became, unfortunately, apparent that we were arming people that are not our friends. As a matter of fact, some of them are our sworn enemies. We were arming our enemies, such as al-Nusra, which is an al-Qaeda affiliate, as well as the Islamic State, as well as other groups that are led by Sunnis that are militants, radical militants, that want to set up a theocracy, a caliphate. And if you don't believe in their faith, we'll kill you, shoot you, behead you, crucify you, burn your churches, or if you happen to be a Shia Muslim, kill them. That's their primary enemy, by the way. They don't like the Iranians because they're Arabs, and they're Sunnis, and they don't like the Shia. And President Obama wants them to be our allies, sworn enemies of the American people and Christians. See, that's the dirty secret, and it is a dirty secret, of what the Central Intelligence Agency was doing in Libya, shipping arms to the Syrian rebels, and now those same Syrian rebels, namely Islamic State, is now in Iraq as well. So Congress passed an authorization bill that will fund the training of so-called moderate Syrians. I don't know what a moderate Syrian is, because when I've looked into this, the overwhelming majority of these rebels are jihadists. They believe in the violent struggle against the enemies of Islam, and that's you and me. Those are Christians, Jews, and people of other faiths, even the Shia Muslims they hate. And our Congress has really funded a war on Christians, a war on Christians. Now, I'm not a friend of the Assad regime, but the Assad regime has protected the millions of Christians that have fled Iraq into Syria. There are somewhere between 1 and 2 million Christians in Syria, and they largely are protected, or were protected, by the Assad regime. But who is it trying to overthrow the Assad regime? The so-called Syrian rebels, or the Free Syrian Army, if you believe that. And who are they killing? Anyone, really, that they can get their hands on that are not Sunni. So Congress, as well as the president, want to fund Syrian rebels so they can attack the Islamic State. You see, this mess was created by government intervention abroad, U.S. government intervention abroad, conducted by the CIA and the intelligence services of Saudi Arabia, Qatar, and Turkey, and as well as their military. And I keep asking myself, has the world turned mad? Why would we do this? Why would our own representatives and senators do this? This is killing Christians, Jews, and people of other faiths that don't agree with the Sunni, radical Sunni version of Islam. And you got to understand, and I understand, there are about 1.4 billion Muslims in the world, the majority of whom are Sunnis. I have no problem with that. Where I do have a problem is where we arm these jihadists, and jihad means struggle. In this case, the lesser struggle, the violent struggle of killing infidels, and we're the infidel. We're arming our own enemies. We're providing them money and intelligence so they can have a proxy war so that we, the President of the United States, Barack Obama, can engage in a covert proxy war with Iran and try to overthrow the Assad regime and its allies, Hezbollah. Now, I don't like Hezbollah. I don't like the Assad regime. I definitely don't like the Iranian regime. But I don't like our allies either, because they're funding our enemies, and they have funded the Islamic State, We created this monster, the Islamic State. Now we're trying to kill it. We're trying to kill it. But what we're really trying to do is overthrow the Assad regime and Hezbollah. But let's get down to so-called root causes. Why are we wasting money, time on this, and American lives? Oil. That's where the money's at. Always follow the money. Why do we have troops all over the Middle East? Why do we have dozens of bases with tons of military supplies all over the Middle East to protect our so-called national interest, our oil? Now, the Iraqi government, as well as the Saudi government and the Iranian government, they view it rightly as their oil, and they want to get a good deal when they sell it. And what we're truly doing is protecting our ally, Saudi Arabia, namely the royal family there, because they have the largest supply or reserves in the world. And it's cheap, relatively cheap. So always follow the money to see why are we there? Because I keep saying to myself, I really don't care what happens in Syria, one way or the other. Because they're going to kill each other no matter what the United States does. They've been doing it for decades. And this religious sectarian civil war between the Sunnis and the Shia, the Arabs and the Persians, it's been going on for decades. It's been going on for centuries. They don't like each other. What's changed is both sides now have a lot of oil that the rest of the world needs to produce goods and services. That's the only reason we focus our attention on them. Prior to the discovery of oil, there was very, very little interest in Saudi Arabia or the country today called Iraq or Syria. Yeah, we did have some empires, the French, the Austro-Hungarian, the Russian, but as at the end of World War I, the Ottoman Empire fell, the Austrian-Hungary Empire fell, the German Empire fell, the Russian Empire fell, and we had the bloodiest war in world history. And the reason why the killing continues and continues and continues is primarily for that very valuable economic resource, petroleum, because you need it to power your vehicles, your trucks, your cars, your tanks, your armored personnel vehicles, your planes, your ships. That's what it's about. And who controls it, and who sets the price of petroleum. And the American people and the American taxpayers, the attitude of both political parties, shut up, we know what we're doing. They think they know better than you do. But it's not their sons and daughters that die abroad. And it's your taxes that are paying for this. I don't want a penny to support any of these Syrian rebels, because I know every penny that I contribute goes where? Some of it, a small portion, but it all adds up, are going to the enemies of the United States, the enemies of the American people, actually the enemies of the world. And what's scary about this, we're on the verge of a regional war that could easily turn into a world war, because allied with Syria is Iran and Russia, and they will push back. And why we're intervening in Syria and Iraq, people are dying. Now, I've said on previous shows that I agree with President Obama's objective of destroying the Islamic State. My problem is the way he's going about this. There's no way air power is going to destroy the Islamic State. And he knows it, because he's been told by his generals that over and over and over again. And I also agree with Obama. The American people don't want U.S. Army and Marines back in Iraq, or for that matter, Syria. So I understand where he's coming from. But there are not many good options here. The only one that I think a lot of people agree with, the Kurds want to form their own country, Kurdistan. Right now, part of their people is in the three northern provinces in Iraq. But the Kurds are in Turkey, they're in Iran, they're in Syria, and they are Iraq. But what the Kurds want is their own country. As far as I'm concerned, they should have their own country. The problem is Turkey won't go along with it. Iran certainly won't go along with it. Iraq won't go along with it. And for that matter, neither will Syria. But I would provide them support. But what's the problem? and it is a big problem. The Islamic State is growing. The Islamic State, until we started the airstrikes, was being successful. They weren't being challenged much, I should say. And the reason is they were taking over the cities, largely where their Sunni is the dominant population. The problem is they were killing anyone that wasn't a Sunni or didn't agree with them. And they took over a lot of territory. Now, the $64,000 question is, can they keep that territory? I don't think so. Because if they were up against a strong military opponent, such as the U.S. Army, such as the Marines, they would have a battle on their hands. No doubt about that. And they would ultimately lose. The problem there is the American people are sick of war. They're weary of war. They've lost sons, daughters, friends. They don't want any more of their tax money being thrown away by supporting the overthrow of governments, whether it be in Iraq, Libya, or Syria. In other words, it doesn't matter, Mr. President, whether it's the Army, Marines, or the CIA doing it. The Americans say, stay out. Stay out. No more money for this mess. Not a dime of treasure and not one American life. Because we've seen what they've done with our efforts. They've literally thrown them away in Iraq, and partly because you're to blame, Mr. President. You were told to keep stability in Iraq. You need to have anywhere from 30 to 50,000 troops remaining there to more or less keep the peace, even though I know and he knows the Iraqi people hate our guts because we're viewed as an occupier. Not a liberator, an occupier. So don't go back to Iraq, and there I agree with you. But we need to stop intervening in every country and acting like policemen of the world, but doing it on the slide, in secret, using the Central Intelligence Agency. We've been doing that for decades, sometimes successfully, sometimes not. But the jig's up. Benghazi blew this covert operation. What only remains to be seen is whether or not the Select Committee on Benghazi will really answer that question. Why was the CIA in Benghazi and what were they doing? And if the Republican Chairman Gowdy, as well as the people on that committee, do not get into this in detail, then as far as I'm concerned, they should shut down the committee because it's a waste of time. You're just playing politics. You're really not interested in the truth. Why were we there? Why would an ambassador go to probably one of the most dangerous spots in the world with minimum protection? The American people know, or the people that are following it know. He was a facilitator of shipping arms from Libya to the Syrian rebels. And the real secret is Gaddafi had tons of arms. Tanks, artillery, jet fighters, as well as what they call man pads. These are shoulder-mounted missiles that can bring down aircraft. They're surface-to-air missiles, and they're portable. They're mobile missiles that can bring down aircraft. That's what we were shipping into the so-called Syrian rebels. So they could bring down Assad's jets, helicopters, and military aircraft. The problem is, as we've seen fairly recently in the Ukraine, these missiles can also bring down airliners. Now, the shoulder-mounted ones have limited range, a little over 2 miles, but that's a lot. And they have brought down helicopters, transports, as well as jet fighters. I'm talking about the Free Syrian Army, as well as the other groups, and there's at least a dozen of them. The problem is most of those groups, not 100%, but a high percentage of those so-called Syrian rebels, after they defeat Assad, and maybe even during it, will turn their guns on us, Americans. In other words, right now they'll take our money, take our arms, say, oh, we love you, and try to overthrow Assad, try to check or contain the Islamic State. But once the Assad regime is overthrown, and that's still not clear to me it's going to happen, given their allies, Hezbollah and Russia, they're going to turn their guns on us, American citizens, and the people that have been helping them. They're also currently turning their guns on Christians in Syria and as well as Iraq and burning their churches. Now, don't feel that they're picking on us because they're also blowing up Shia mosque. You see, the problem with these religious fanatics, these jihadists, violent jihadists, is if you don't agree with their ideology or faith, they kill you and they blow you up. You have a choice. You either convert to their religion or they kill you. Now, they give you an option. You can pay a tax, but it's a rather high tax, and most people can't pay it for very long. So they flee if they're lucky. If you're lucky, you get to flee. That's called ethnic cleansing. What they're trying to do is clear the land of the infidels. And who are the infidels? Anyone that doesn't agree with their religion or opposes them. In other words, if you're an American, a Christian, a Jew, a Buddhist, a Hindi, any religion other than theirs, a Shiite Muslim, they'll kill you. So that's why I'm for the Islamic State being destroyed. But who has to destroy it? The people that are there. Ideally, Sunni Arabs have to destroy the Islamic State. And I've had sort of some second thoughts recently, because I kept saying to myself, well, who is funding them right now and has over the last several years? Qatar, Saudi Arabia, now it's primarily Saudi Arabia, but also Turkey. And a lot of it is private funds from people that support these guys. You see, the brand of Sunni Islam that's practiced in Saudi Arabia is Wahhabism. And what the Islamic State is trying to impose is really what the Wahhabis want. They don't believe in religious tolerance. They don't. This is a radical, extreme version of Islam. And the Saudis have been big supporters of anyone that supports or advocates, for example, the establishment of caliphate. And more importantly, the rule of law there will be Islamic law, namely Sharia law. So we are Congress, your representative and your senators, not all of them. There was a significant number of Republicans and Democrats who opposed this. Unfortunately, not enough, because the congressmen and senators were in a rush to get back to their districts or state to run for re-election. You see, that's what they're all about, is getting re-elected. But what really happened this week is our Congress declared war on Christians in the Middle East, and they're justifying it. This is to stop the Islamic State. Excuse me. Why do we have an Islamic State that suddenly has all this control of Iraq and Syria? It's because the United States and its so-called allies, Saudi Arabia, Turkey, who's part of NATO, and Qatar, supported them to overthrow Assad. That's why I'm a non-interventionist. I believe in a strong U.S. military, but I don't believe it's the function of the United States military to be policemen of the world and intervene in nation after nation after nation. Nor do I believe that you should use the CIA to overthrow governments. Unfortunately, the United States has a long history of doing that. And guess what? The people in those countries know that. It's no secret to them what the United States is doing. And they resent it deeply. And they hate our guts because they see us as imperialists, as occupiers, and frankly, as killers of their own people. We're worse than the ugly American. We're the killing American. And I don't like to say that. We created this Islamic State monster, as we did create al-Nusra, two initially allies, al-Qaeda groups. Remember, the Islamic State was originally al-Qaeda in Iraq. They've just changed their name, folks, and now they're back, they're arrested, and they're successful. And they're attacking us and our allies, as well as the people in Iraq, the people in Syria. And now we have to arm and train some more Syrian rebels to take on them. I don't think that's a viable strategy, for the simple reason the Islamic State has somewhere between 30 and 50,000 fighters, and they're getting more every day. They are attracting young people, teenagers, people in their 20s, that believe like they do. Now, some are pressed into service. I understand that. They're not all true believers. Many people are being coerced to join their military forces. But enough of them truly believe what the Islamic State leaders believe in, and they're getting bigger. Now, this could have been stopped many ways several years ago, but no, what we were doing, we were funding this outfit as well as al-Nusra, which was a major rival, but it's al-Qaeda. They fly the black flag too. I'm upset because I'm not seeing leadership out of Washington. Matter of fact, what I'm seeing makes me cry. They're pathetic. Pathetic. Congress, senators, and the House, what they're doing. There are some exceptions, but the majority, the leadership of both parties is selling out the American people so they can get reelected and get campaign contributions from the same companies, defense contractors, oil companies, as well as their investment bankers. You see, they're all bought and paid for. Most are bought and paid for. Call it crony capitalism. I prefer crony socialism. What it really is fascism. And unfortunately, our Constitution is fast becoming a dead letter. Some would say it's already a dead letter. Remember, it was set up that only Congress could declare war. Initially, it was worded make war, but then they changed it to declare war. We have a president that doesn't believe that. And if Congress did not pass that authorization bill, he was going to do what he wanted to do anyway. In other words, violating his oath of office. That's how much he thinks of our Constitution. And yes, it's an impeachable offense, what he's doing. And we haven't seen anything yet. But where's the check? Where's the Congress? If you don't get on your representatives and senators' case when they come back to your district or state, you have nothing to complain about. You need to get smart about what's going on, because it's actually scary what's going on, because this threatens the United States and its people. You see, the Islamic State is primarily focused on what's happening in Syria and Iraq. They want to control territory. They want to replace the governments of Iraq and Syria with an Islamic State. And that's why they call it the Islamic State, where Sharia law or Islamic law is the law of the land, and they want the infidels out of their country, both Syria and Iraq. Who does that mean? First and foremost, their number one enemy is the Shia, who are Muslims. They're in the minority. Only about 10 or 11% of all Muslims are Shia. But in Iraq, they're about 60% of the population, 60 or 65%. Somewhere between 20 and 25% are Sunni. You see, the Shia outnumber the Sunnis. And the Shia are primarily in southern Iraq, especially the Basra area where most of the oil is, and central Iraq, including Baghdad. But here's the problem. Baghdad is a very much mixed city of both Sunnis and Shia. In northern and western Iraq, that's where the Sunnis dominate, or the most of the people are Sunni. But you need to understand there's a lot of intermarriage going on. That's never mentioned. And there are Christians, there are Kurds. Kurds are largely Sunni, but neither the Shia Iraqis or the Sunnis Iraqis like the Kurds. So you have a lot of ethnic violence, you have a lot of religious violence, you have a lot of volatility, instability, whatever you want to call it. And what's the battle over? What's the war over? It's over oil and who controls it. It's only natural for the Iraqis as well as the Iranians, or for that matter, the Syrians, to want to control their natural resources. Call it nationalism. And why I think there's a way for our oil companies to do business with them. The United States, Great Britain, France, Netherlands, in the past and continue in the future, would like to have their own person that they can control in power. That's what's going on. That's why we face and will face for the next decades the problem of the Middle East and the violence and the wars and the civil wars going on. I don't see an easy solution. I certainly don't see a quick solution. But I think the best approach is to stay out. Don't intervene. The problem, ladies and gentlemen, when you're talking this much wealth, There are people with a lot of money and a lot of power that don't agree with what I just said. See, the elites in this country, whether they're Democrat or Republican, have a problem. Increasingly, the American people are waking up to the fact that neither political party has their interests, their concerns, as their first priority. In other words, we have a political class that's out for themselves, a political class that has become corrupt, a political class that is hurting the American people, the American worker. And if you think this is bad, I think you're going to have a surprise in October. Maybe November, but in October or November. The timing is not critical. I think President Obama is going to do what he's threatening, probably after the election, but who knows? He's going to make legal the millions of illegal aliens that are in the United States and working in the United States and competing directly with citizens of the United States. Even though poll after poll after poll, the American people have made it abundantly clear that they want our immigration laws enforced. They want these people deported because there's not 10 or 11 million or 12 million. It's more like 30 to 50 million. And these elites have more concern for them than the American worker. And there's only two reasons. For business, especially large businesses, this is cheap labor, cheap compliant labor. And for the Democrats, it's more votes. So they can be a single party and control the House, the Senate, and the presidency. It's all about power. It's all about money. And guess what? Who cares what the American people think? They're going to do what they're going to do. And if you don't like it, tough. So you better start voting your pocketbook. You better start becoming informed as to what your so-called representatives and senators are doing. And if you don't like what you see, vote them out of office. That's the one thing that gets their attention. Vote them out of office. I don't care if they have a D after their name or an R after their name. If they're really not for you, vote them out of office. You see, more and more American people, and this is what the elites are scared of. When you ask them what their party affiliation is, or saying independent. Now, right now, the Democrats and Republicans laugh at that. Well, what is an independent going to do? He only has two choices, and we make sure it's only two choices. Ladies and gentlemen, when the number of independents goes over 50%, you're going to see more and more calls for a third party. A principal third party that's successful, that believes in a constitutional republic and believes that we shouldn't be policemen of the world trying to nation build and go into country after country, either with troops or with our clandestine Central Intelligence Agency doing covert operations, trying to overthrow governments so that their masters can control key resources such as oil. The only thing that's going to get their attention is to vote them out of office. Don't send them a dime. Vote them out of office. And vote for the candidate that truly represents you. The problem there, and I've seen it, we elect people to go to Congress and the Senate, and they tell us what we want to hear. And we nod our heads, shake our heads, and we let them go off. And within 2 years, 4 years, 6 years, sometimes it takes a little longer. Before you know it, they've changed. They don't seem to be like they used to. They might say the same thing, but when you check out their voting record and who they favor, there's an inconsistency. In other words, they don't walk the walk. They talk the talk, but they don't walk the walk. In other words, they're lying to you. And that's Democrats and Republicans. They're lying to you. They look you in the eye and tell you a lie. And if you're a fool, you believe it. And there are a lot of fools. I call them dots, the dummies on the street. The people that are more concerned about what's happening in the NFL than what's happening abroad that could lead to wasting of trillions of dollars and thousands of lives. Start voting your pocketbook. start following politics. Don't believe what I say. That's why I give you this information on my companion blog, promptpops.wordpress.com. I always say, do your own homework. I make mistakes. I will admit that. And I don't always get it right. But I try to be straight with you and try to be honest. And I don't expect anyone to agree with me 100% of the time. I'd be happy if they agree with me 80% of the time. And that's important. There's no such thing as a perfect politician. I understand that. But when you see on important issues that the person you elect and you trusted was lying to you, then you need to do something about it. Because they, when I say they, I mean the so-called political elites, ruling class. I like to call them the P's, the political elitist establishment, the P's. The P's don't care about you. They know best. They tell you what to think. They have a media to reinforce to make sure you get the message or don't get the message, as the case may be. So do your own homework. That means you need to read. You need to be up to speed. Now, I know that some of you are listening and say, I don't have time. Make time. Don't expect other people to be concerned about this if you don't have a concern. That's the easy way out that accomplishes nothing. That's exactly what the P's want. They want you to turn this out. That's why they still have circuses. It's called professional sports. They're circuses to take your time away, to distract you. Not only sports, television shows, movies. They're diversions. They're distractions. Why they steal your money, steal your time, and steal your lives. Get smart. Wake up. Get informed. Do something about it. Get out of your seat and do something about it. Because if you don't, we might be in a world war. Remember, the last century was the bloodiest century in world history. And one of the reasons it was the bloodiest, we had a lot of volatility. We had a lot of growth. It was the most successful century in terms of production. But it also was the most destructive century in terms of killing people, innocent people, as well as people that volunteered or didn't volunteer for their military. Because you will always have good and evil. And if you don't stop evil, they will prevail. And it's about time that the United States stay home. You know what really annoys me, because I do listen to some talk radio, I sample various shows, and I do have my favorites. But a lot of conservatives or libertarians will go on and on and on and on about government intervention into the U.S. economy, into our lives. The complaint of the American people as far as the government today is, please leave me alone. Please leave me alone. Stop taking my money. We're overtaxed. Stop it. Leave me alone. That's the plea of the American people. Leave me alone. I can't pay any more money. Leave me alone. That's the plea. But guess what? That also applies for people around the world. They're saying the same thing. United States, please leave me alone. Please leave me alone. You're bombing my house, my homes, my villages, my community. Please leave me alone. I understand you're the world power. I understand you can destroy me, but leave me alone. Stop being policemen of the world. We'll take care of our own problems. And ladies and gentlemen, that is what needs to be done. We, the American people, have to take care of our problems here and let the people of the world, no matter what nation they're in, take care of their problems there. We have to stop the big government types that want government intervention and have created the largest warfare and welfare state in world history. And the problem with that is welfare and welfare states across the world are failing because of the out-of-control government spending. I call it spending addiction disorder. They're all hooked on expanding the size and scope of government and getting more and more and more involved in your life. They're totalitarians. They're authoritarians. They're control freaks. They're power freaks. We have them in this country, and we have them across the world. They can't leave their own people alone to choose the life they want to lead. And the American people are becoming wise as to what's happening and are starting to shout about it and complain about it and hopefully throw these bums out. And they are bums. Yes, there's some good guys, I understand. But your congressman, your senator just voted money that ultimately will kill Christians, Jews, Shia Muslims, and other people of other faiths in the Middle East, in Syria, in Iraq. And that's just started. Yeah, Barack Obama can say, no boots on the ground, but he's lying to you. They're boots on the ground. They're called CIA agents. They're called special operating forces. Don't be fooled. We're at war. We're at war with Iran, with Hezbollah, with Assad, and the Islamic State. And all that's getting bigger and bigger and bigger is the warfare welfare state. That's what they want, and they pay their politicians to deliver. In other words, they're bought and paid for, both Democrats and Republicans, progressives, and sad to say, libertarians and conservatives, bought and paid for. And you can see it in the disconnect between what are the concerns of the American people and what are the concerns of the political elitist establishment in Washington, D.C. And watch out. I think we're in for a few more surprises in the next couple of months regarding illegal aliens, regarding what's happening in the Middle East, and more government controls, more regulations, more taxes, more deficits, higher and higher national debt, higher and higher unfunded liabilities. This ultimately leads to economic collapse and disaster and default on our debt. That's why I'm not optimistic. I'm a realist. I don't want this to happen. And I know of many things that can be done and should be done that could stop this. I'm not a determinist. I don't believe that this has to happen. But unless the American people wake up and throw these bums, these political elitist establishment, these peas that are peeing on you out of office, they'll continue to do exactly what they've done for the last several decades, for really over 100 years. They're collectivists. They believe in big government, and that's what they're about. They don't care about the individual. They don't care about the American worker. They don't care about the American business owner that creates the wealth, the income, and jobs. No, they're about growing government, growing the bureaucracies, controlling you, taking more and more of your hard-earned money. They're about intervention, both domestically in the United States and abroad. And when their back is up to the wall, they pull out their playbook, and the play they always turn to is war, war, because they know that war inevitably means more and more government and more control over you. That's what's going on. We're at war, and we want to make the war bigger. And who's going to pay the price? You and me are going to pay the price. So wake up. Find out what's going on and get out there. No one's going to do it. You need to talk to your friends, your family, and do something about it. I'm trying to do something about it, but I don't know your skills. I don't know your interests. I don't know your capabilities. It's going to take money. It's going to take people. It's going to take organization. It's going to take a message. And it's going to take fundamental reform of our political parties by having a truly principled constitutional party that believes in a representative republic. Otherwise, like there have been over 70 empires throughout history. Some have lasted 500 years. Some have lasted as few as a dozen years. But they inevitably fail. They overreach. They get out of control. It's happened over and over and over again. So you, if you don't learn history, you will repeat it, and we're repeating it. I think the American empire is in decline, and we're being threatened directly by religious fanatics, really fanatics of all kinds, but a lot of them today are in the Middle East that believe they have the one true religion, the one true ideology, and if you don't agree with them, they're going to have to kill you. So you better wake up, because if they can't get you over there, they'll come here. It's only a matter of time. So do your homework. You can start by going to my companion blog, prankpops.wordpress.com. Read some of the articles, look at some of the videos, but then do your own research. Check it out. You have Google today. You didn't have that 30 years ago. You can search and get information, but don't stop there. There's a lot of good books. There's a lot of videos, and there's some good television, too. So do your homework, and then get up, get out of your seat, talk to your family, talk to your friends, organize, because only you can do it. I can't do it by myself. And now I'd like to close with America the Beautiful. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College.